This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. One of my favorite movies that I watched growing up as a kid was a movie called Rudy. And Rudy is the true story of a man named Rudy Rudiger, who, when he was a teenager, had a dream of playing football at Northwestern University. But there was a problem. Rudy was not a very good student, and Notre Dame academically is a very hard school to get into. And Rudy also stood at only 5'6" tall, way too small for most people to play high-level college football. But nevertheless, this movie shared the story about how Rudy pursued his dream and didn't give up. Because he did not have the grades to get into Notre Dame following high school, he instead went to a community college close by called Holy Cross. And at Holy Cross, at the end of each semester, he applied to Notre Dame again and again. And he had 4 tries to get into Notre Dame. And the first 3 tries, he failed. But on the 4th try, he was accepted to the school. And then he went and tried out for the team. And his entire time as a member of the football team, he never saw the field. He was only on the practice squad. And at the very end of the movie, at the last game, he finally gets to play. And on the final play of his college career, he sacks the quarterback and his teammates carry him off the field. We call this a success story because Rudy had a dream and he never gave up and he accomplished his dream. But the question that I'm wondering about this morning is, what if, despite his best efforts, despite working as hard as he could, Rudy did not get accepted to Notre Dame? What if instead, after 4 semesters, 2 years at this Holy Cross Community College, he instead wasn't accepted to Notre Dame and transferred to a different university? Or he got a job in the trades, doing some sort of occupation, had a wonderful family, raised some children, enjoyed his work, gave to his community. Would a movie have been made about him? Probably not. Now, is he more of a success in one story versus the other? Well, our world would have us believe so. See, typically, movies are not made about what we call, quote-unquote, ordinary people. They're made about extraordinary people who have done extraordinary things. We hear stories in movies and situations on the news about people who have defied great odds to do something incredible. And is there anything wrong or bad about these things? No. Stories like these are wonderful and inspiring. I remember for me, the story of Rudy was an inspiring story throughout my childhood. But the problem with these stories sometimes is we believe that success is reserved for only a handful of people. And that if we have a dream that we have placed on our heart and we pursue that dream and we fail to achieve exactly what we set out to achieve, we run the risk of thinking that we are a failure. Because of stories like Rudy's and others, we get it in our heads that there is only one path forward for us. And that if we fail to achieve our vision for the future, whatever that vision may be, then we ourselves are failures. But is this what the scripture says? Is our vision of success the same as God's vision of success? Is what the vision of a meaningful life God lays out compatible with our definition of what success looks like for us? You see, from a young age, all of us dream. All of us hope for something, whether that's to get a specific job or to get in a specific college or to pursue a specific occupation or to have a specific family situation. Whatever it is, all of us have a vision for success. But what happens when our vision for success does not match the reality which we are living in today? In our scripture reading today, Jesus has a vision for his disciples. Our scripture reading might be called the very first mission trip. See, in the scripture reading today, Jesus has developed a following. And what the scripture tells us is that Jesus sends out 70 people into neighboring villages and towns to begin preaching and teaching his gospel. Jesus says, "Go out into the towns and be my disciples and be my messengers." Jesus gives the disciples their first job. Now, when we typically get a job, we hope that it comes with certain things: good salary, good benefits, vacation time. Jesus offers none of these things. In fact, by modern day standards, the job that Jesus offers to his disciples seems pretty unappealing. Jesus says that I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves, meaning that his disciples, there will be danger. He also says, carry no purse, no bag, or no sandals, meaning this job does not come with any perks or even a uniform. Jesus goes on to say that if people don't welcome you, shake the dust that clings from your feet. See, the vision that Jesus offers for us in our life is different than the vision that we get from worldly success. You see, worldly success teaches us that you have to work hard, that you have to have a vision of a place that you want to arrive to in your life, whether it's a certain job or going to a certain school or whatever. That work as hard as you can to get to that place. And once you get to that place, you can relax, you can rest, and you will feel a sense of peace and fulfillment. But fail to do the right things, fail to get to the place that you are dreaming of, that you are hoping of, and you'll feel like a failure. But Jesus offers a different definition of success. Jesus calls us to a life not of success, but of faithfulness. And Jesus teaches us that something very, very important, that failure is not a destination for the Christian. Failure is not a sentencing. Failure, instead, is a tool that God uses to bring us where he wants us to be. I remember when I was in fourth grade that I knew very clearly what I wanted to do the rest of my life. I wanted to be a professional football player. And so I, in fourth grade, spent as much time playing as much football as I could, watching football, playing football video games, playing football with my friends, and I loved it. But as I grew up and grew into my junior high years, something interesting happened. I noticed that while I stopped growing or started leveling off, many people around me, football teammates, kept growing bigger and stronger and faster. And I very quickly realized that I did not have the physical attributes or tools to become a professional football player. But then I found myself looking for something new and different to do in high school since I was no longer in football. And so I got involved in music in the school plays. And then I knew exactly what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I was going to become a professional actor. That I watched movies, I was in plays, I took lessons, I did all the things that you needed to do. And I even sought out a college to become a professional actor in. But very quickly, once I got to school and began to study acting, I had this overwhelming sense that this is not what God was calling me to do. And so then I began to look for something different until I found that God was calling me to be a pastor. Now, why do I share this story with you? What if I was never able to let go of my dream of becoming a football player? What would I be like today? Would I be trying to try out for the Chicago Bears? Of course, something like that would look silly. What if I was never able to let go of my dream or vision of becoming a professional actor? I wouldn't have found the life and the work that God has so richly blessed me with today. You see, what I've realized looking back on my childhood now is that God, for a season, wanted me to think that I was supposed to be a football player. And then that led me to professional, thinking he wanted me to be a professional actor. And then that led me to God calling me to be a pastor. And what I didn't realize at the time that I realize now is that because God spent all that time in me thinking of becoming an actor, that helped me ultimately become a pastor because it helped me learn how to speak in front of other people. Now, I share this story with you not because my story is so remarkable or important. It's not. I share that story with you is because we tend to fixate sometimes on certain things or ideas, certain things that we need to be or certain things that we need to achieve. And doing and achieving is great. It's wonderful. It's great to have goals. It's great to have vision. It's even great to have a dream. But if that dream fails to become a reality, know that you are not a failure. That God simply might be using what we call as a failure as a tool to show you something different, to bring you into a different place and a different season in your life. You see, we use the word success, but the Bible uses a slightly different word, glory. The Bible doesn't talk about success, but it talks about glory. And glory, we know, is someone who achieves something so much that they're recognized as important or wonderful. But what the Bible teaches us is that our glory is not because of us. Our glory is because of Jesus Christ. You see, the secular person, the person without faith, looks at this life and this world as the end all be all. That get as much as you can, achieve all that you can, because once this life is over, that's all there is. But for Christians, we know our greatest glory, our greatest success is not what happens in this life, but is what happens in the next life. As Jesus gives all his instructions to the 70 disciples, as he tells them all the things that they need to do and not do when they go out into the world, and he tells them about the ways that God will change them and change others, notice what he says at the end. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." As Christians, we will achieve certain things and we will fail to achieve certain things. But our rejoicing should be first and foremost that our names are written in heaven, that the greatest success that we will experience is not a success that we have achieved for ourselves, but it's a success that Jesus has achieved for us through his life, death, and resurrection. So understand that God does not call you to a life of success and achievement. At least that's not the first thing he calls you to. The first thing God calls you to is faithfulness. That our lives should not be dictated by asking ourselves the question, what do I want from myself? Our lives should be dictated by asking the question, what does God want from me? Each and every day, we should begin our lives in prayer, asking ourselves, what do you want me to do, God? Who do you want me to be? Help me let go of my disappointments and expectations of how things should be, and show me how you want to be your instrument. Help me understand and remember that the greatest rejoicing, the greatest success, the greatest achievement is something that I not have achieved for myself, but is something that Jesus has achieved for me. And let that be your guide. Let that be your truth. And let faithfulness be your guide. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder that you call us not to a life of success, but to a life of faithfulness. Help us know that all that we are and all that we will be is because of you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.